For many of you, you know how that's true in many areas, but especially in the last 15 years, life's passed pretty quickly for Grants Creek. Just a little over 15 years ago, our church had the privilege of calling Marty Montgomery as our youth minister. And of course, it was a package deal, thank God, right, Marty? Jackie came with him. Excuse me, I'm coming down like a lot of the folks are with something, but Jackie came with him, and the Montgomery couple came to minister to Grants with Grants Creek, Marty's youth minister, Jackie along his side, and they served there together in that capacity. And then, as you know, we had some needs in our children's ministry, and Jackie just jumped right in as a volunteer and did a fantastic job ministering to our children. And finally, we just realized that it was God's will that we put her on staff as well. And she became our children's minister. And so for the last several years, Marty and Jackie have had the responsibility of taking care of our young people from nursery all the way out of high school. And they have done a great job. I can tell you that it has been a joy to work with Marty and Jackie for the last 15 years. Sweetest people in the world, easy to get along with, just so wonderful to have that relationship. Of I'm saying something. What's going on here? Hold those for a minute, Nancy. Trying to be serious here, you know. They can't hear a word I say. So can you just take it off Lucas anyway? But the Montgomerys have been a joy to work with. And honest to goodness, yeah, I think it might be good for right now. Do them sometime, but better hold them. It's been such a joy to work with Jackie and Marty. They have blessed us in beyond measure. And so we've got several things we want to do this morning. But first of all, we just want to hear from two or three of our folks that they have worked with and what they meant to them. And so Tiffany Crutchfield is coming first. So Tiffany, if you'll come, please, and just share a few words. Thank you.
Look, if y'all are looking for something sappy, I'm not sappy. So I'm going to read some scripture and just, you know, tell you what I've experienced over the past, what, 5 or 6 years that we've been here? 6 years? Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God... that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. You know, if we are saints, if we are Christians, God has given us all the power and enlightenment that we need. And I feel like that's why Marty and Jackie are leaving. You know, they're not leaving us as a church. They're not leaving at all. They're going to further the kingdom. They're just an extension of us. They worked here for a period of time. It's time to move on. And thank God that they are listening to the Spirit. That we would all listen to the Spirit like they're listening to the Spirit and that they're following the Spirit. I am thankful that my kids are heartbroken. Jenna Kate is just heartbroken. I know. But I wasn't going to tell her this morning. But she is completely heartbroken because she has grown up under the care of not only Marty and Jackie, but their children. Their children have taken care of my kids. Their children have taught my kids and have taught them in Vacation Bible School and led them in Vacation Bible School and in children's classes. You know, they have not only dedicated their own lives, but they have sacrificed their own children for us. And that those children would go out and see the sacrifice that they have made and that Marty and Jackie have made. And they would continue that with their lives and the lives of their own children. And, you know, we haven't. We came into this church blind, not knowing when we walked through those doors and on a September day that we would be blindsided by a full gospel church. This is the first Southern Baptist church I've ever been in. And I've been in churches since I was in diapers. First full gospel church where leadership from the pulpit all the way down has followed fully what God has said in the Bible, not wavering at all. The hard stuff, the easy stuff, there's been no wavering from the top down. And I praise God for the leadership, Marty, Jackie, everybody from the top back down for not wavering. Not wavering at all. And pray that, you know, we would all be enlightened, our hearts be enlightened, and that we would all have the power of God in us and the Spirit of God in us teaching us daily. Like, I feel like they've showed us, and that, yeah, we all mess it up sometimes, and I'm sure they've messed it up a couple of times, but for the most part, they have been a great light and a leadership in our church for X amount of years. So, anyway.
Thank you, Tiffany. Daniel, excuse me, Patrick Elliott was in our church for a number of years, dating one of our teenagers, and then took her off and married her, and now they're elsewhere. But many of you remember Patrick. Patrick's going to come and share a word or two. Patrick, would you come?
Good morning. Not too many times I've been up in front of so many people like this, so if I'm a little nervous, bear with me. I've known Marty and Jackie since I was itty bitty. And they actually started out, I know, me knowing them at Mount Olive. He was the basketball coach for my brother's basketball team there. And then he was also the youth pastor there as well. And then whenever they come here, I was so brokenhearted because I was like, well, I mean, you know, y'all have always been there. If, like, I ever wanted to find y'all, y'all are there. Well, you know, they came here, and then, you know, God brought me here, and I met Faith, and, you know, got to be in the youth group with Marty as the youth pastor. And I learned a lot in ways of being a Christian man from Marty, and I've even got to work for him or work under him at his business and things like that. And I mean, I could always, anytime I was around him, I could feel God's presence, and I could just feel the Holy Spirit move. And I mean, I don't know if it's just like a radiating vibrance or what, but it's just an awesome power that you could feel. And and I don't know where God will be leading y'all from here, but in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And you, I think that was one of the verses that you may have gone over, you know, back whenever we was in Sunday school and things like that. But that verse has always stuck with me, and it's always given me a hope for a, you know, a godly future. And you've always been an inspiration to look up to. And I think many others that you teach, and also Miss Jackie too, both of y'all, I believe kids everywhere have been very much influenced by y'all. And I just want to say thank y'all for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I pray that y'all would keep that wherever you go.
Thanks, Patrick. We have one more that's going to come and share. Jeff and Elizabeth Chandler have worked very closely with Marty on mission trips, youth functions, and so forth. And Jeff's coming and share a little bit. Jeff, will you come?
Anything that is doing any endeavor, any project, whether it's a mission trip or a cookout, a luncheon, VBS, relies heavily on teamwork. And there's so many parables that we've heard and so many different choices to choose from if you want to talk about teamwork. In this area, we always hear people refer to football teams and or basketball teams. There's all sorts of other examples of teamwork, whether it's a crew of people that are working on a job, a military unit. One of the examples to me is a ship's crew. When a ship makes a port of call, and you can go down to Mobile or New Orleans and see it. You see a ship when they're tied up to a dock and the crew leaves. Some of them leave with their sea bags. They're probably not coming back to that ship. They got transferred. And some guys go walking up the gangway with a sea bag. They're new. They've just joined the ship. About 6 years ago, my family and I joined the crew at Grants Creek. Now, one thing about new people reporting for duty with a crew, an established crew, your name may be on the crew roster, but you're not a part of the crew until you have sailed with that crew. When the ship leaves port and you're the new guy, you're expected to know your job. You know your job, but you don't know your crewmates until you have something break down and you're in the middle of the ocean. Until you go through a storm together, you're not a part of the crew. Now, we joined Grants Creek some 6 years ago, and within a year, we went on a mission trip with Marty and Jackie. We went to Vermont, and we had a literal breakdown on that trip. In between here and Vermont in Virginia, the van broke down. We weathered a storm together. We completed that voyage. And by the time that voyage was over, a crew was formed. And I have had the honor and privilege to serve on this crew with the Montgomerys for the past 6 years. Now, like a ship's crew, sometimes you have a chief, you have bosses. You have the commander, the captain, the first mate, the boss of the boat, who would be the chief of the boat. Sometimes when you're out there working and something's going on, the job of the chief is to tell the seaman what to do. Sometimes they have a hard time doing it. There's a certain type of chief that when something like that's happening, you got a guy standing in bilge water up to his waist trying to break a fitting loose with a wrench, and he needs a hammer. There's certain chiefs, they don't bat an eye. They roll their sleeves up and they jump in there with them. I've seen Marty be that kind of chief. Now, for just a minute, I'd like to read some scripture here. Matthew chapter 23. Start with verse 8. Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master. Now, rabbi in Jewish language at that time meant master or teacher. Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. All ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And I have seen the heart of a servant in Marty and Jackie Montgomery. Amen. And it's been a pleasure to serve with you.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jeff. And again, thank you, Tiffany. And thank you, Patrick. I'd like to ask Marty and Jackie to come up, if you would, please, just for a moment. If you guys would just come up and stand by me. We have some things we'd like to present to you. First of all, Randy Nixon has a presentation. Randy, if you'll come, please.
Marty, Jackie, as y'all start a new journey right there, we're sad to see you go, but we're happy that the Lord's calling you where He wants you to be, Lord. And a lot of people have wrote some notes and cards for you, and they want y'all to remember them, and their prayers will be with you from now on.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we have a couple of other things we'd like to present to you. First of all, we want to present you with a family Bible. We don't know that if you have one or not, but if you have one, you've got two now. I've got to tell you.
They're flashing pictures again.
Yeah, just keep the serious ones up there. Yeah.
Take that now.
I've got to tell you that as I looked for family Bibles, the first one I looked, it was a beautiful Bible, and I was about to purchase it, but it didn't have enough names, it didn't have enough lines for children. It only had, and so I had to put it back and find another one that had enough for all your kids. So this is for you. This is from our church, and we just hope that we'll be a blessing to you as you record, you know, family stuff from now on. And if it's all right with you, we would like to do this. We're going to have this Bible displayed in the CLC at lunch, and it will be on a stand, and we want you, Marty and Jackie's church family at Grants Creek, to sign the flyleaf of the Bible. So it has here your Grants Creek family. And so if you're present at the lunch, please sign the Bible. And if you perhaps cannot make it to lunch, then sign it on the pulpit before you leave, and your name will be there as well. So, gift number one. All right. Also, these are a couple of individual gifts. We just have a card for you, and there's a little something in this card. And we just want you to both know how much we love you at Grants Creek. You've been more than staff members. You've been friends, and you've been comrades in ministry, and it's unusual to have that kind of relationship with the whole church that you've had. You know, many staff members come in and do their thing, and nobody in the church knows them, but everybody knows you guys because you have embraced, endeared yourself to all of us. And so we just want you to know how much we love you, Marty and Jackie, and we just thank God for you, and it's been a joy to work with you as your pastor, and we would all say the same thing. And so, man, God bless you. God bless you. Whatever He leads you to do in the days ahead, and we love you. Amen. All right, you go ahead first.
Hopefully I can get through this a little better than the other day. Thank you so much. Y'all have just meant so much to me and my family. When we first came, it was just me and Jackie. And lots changed since then. Yeah, I didn't know the little picture with Lucas and the aluminum foil. That was a new one. Jackie said that was camp. Okay. Not that he don't do things like that, but I'm just saying. Hadn't saw that one. It's for 15 years. It sure has flown by. When I first came, some of you might know it, but others might not, that some of the youth, when Patrick got up to speak earlier, to see the youth change, grow up, not only Patrick, but Eric and Hannah, Swanson. Eric's been with me to church for years, and he was in my youth group, and So it's just they came here, found them a wife. So you know, they think good things happen down here. So it's two of them that's kind of followed us down here and found some Foster's ladies. So one of the stories, though, that before we came, there's only two people that truly knew who we were and knew how we were going to be, and I often kid her about it that there's only two people that voted against me when we got job, which I mean that part was true. there's two people that didn't. I don't know who it really was, but I always tell her it was her. And there's two people that voted against me when we came, and Jackie had gotten on to them at a youth camp. So when we came here, she didn't know them. We were off in Centrifuge in Greenville, South Carolina, and Grants Creek was actually there, and y'all had two girls. It was, one was jumping off a washing machine. Don't name Hannah's name. So I said I had two people vote against me. Well, when we came in that morning for Sunday school, I said, oh no, that's that lady. So I said, oh, I know who voted against me, her and Natalie, because they was big buddies. I said that's the two. So I've, over the course of the last 15 years, I always tell her, I said, well, I know who it was. But I've enjoyed it, and Hannah has become one of the most dearest friends. I've had opportunities to write some different recommendations for people. And Emily Griffin had asked me to write one. And just how much, with all the youth that I've been around, that several have went into the same career path as far as engineering that I'm in, and become civil engineers and different engineers and nurses and doctors, and you look back on those kids and the things that they're doing, and when I was writing Emily's recommendation letter, and she was wanting to be a RA at Mississippi College in the dorm she was at, and just how much she meant to me, which every youth here means so much when they place their faith in Christ and they're coming to church and wanting to be a part and do the things that Christ has led them to do. I hope that they grow up to be a productive part of society to share the love of Christ. And y'all have been so much a part of our life and a part of my kids' life. Y'all, it takes a church to grow a family. And you've grown mine. I want to thank you. All of you. And I'm glad to see a lot of faces that I haven't seen for a while. I'm glad you're here. I love y'all.
And I'm going to give a word that we had in our Sunday school today. I'm a little like Tiffany, trying not to get sappy. But 1 Samuel, at the end of that book in the Bible. Moses died, and the Jewish people are allowed to mourn only 30 days. And that's it. And then it's like, get up and go. And that's how the first chapter of Joshua starts. It starts out by saying Moses is dead. Well, everybody knew that. He'd been dead about a month. And it's time to go. And that's what I think God is telling this church, is this may be a part that's ending, but it's time to go. It's time for somebody to pick up the stick and run with it. Maybe you've been scared to or whatever, but I know that God is speaking to people here in this church for you to pick up the rod and to start running and start making sacrifices. Yeah, your house is not going to be clean. You're not going to have all the clothes washed. You're not going to have things done that you think have to be done. But you know what? You can't arrange chairs on a sinking ship. Somebody's got to be working to keep that ship going. And this is the time. Moses is dead. It's time to get up. Let's go.
Well, I would like to just say as we wrap this thing up that our church will never be the same. You have left a permanent stamp on Grants Creek, and countless lives have been touched. And when we get to heaven, we will know all the good things God did, but you can be assured that we understand what God has given us through your ministry in 15 years, and we are eternally grateful. We are. And we love you. I want to ask all our ordained deacons and ministers to come forward. We're going to pray for Marty and Jackie. So if you men will just come, deacons, ministers, and just lay your hands on them. I'm going to lead us in a prayer as we send them off to whatever God has in their lives in the days ahead. So would you please come, men?
Just gather around Jack and Marty as best you can. I would like to ask all of you to join our men as we pray for them. Lord, we come right now, we just want to give you honor and praise and glory. Lord, you have been good to Grants Creek. You were good to Grants Creek, Father. And 15 years ago, you sent Marty and Jackie Montgomery to serve along with us in the work of your kingdom. And so, Father, we just want to first of all say thank you for their faithful ministry. Thank you for their encouragement. Thank you for their example. Thank you for the lives they touched, Father. Thank you for how you allowed you to use them, Lord, unselfishly, serving you faithfully in this church. And Lord Jesus, right now, I just want to pray that, Lord, all their fruit will remain, Lord. God, it will bear much fruit in the days ahead. All the souls saved, Lord, all the lives strengthened. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll use all these, Lord, to just continue fruit bearing, Lord, on behalf of Marty and Jack. And Father, I also pray that, Lord, in the days ahead, you're going to guide them and lead them. And Lord, we just pray a special blessing on them as you give them direction for the days ahead, Father. And Lord Jesus, I pray that they will just see your hand at work in their lives. And Lord, they might just rejoice at your faithfulness as you lead them into new and even bigger and better things for the glory of your name, Lord. And so, Jesus, would you just keep it on blessing. Bless every child, Lord, every single one of them. Lord, protect them, keep them. Lord, We thank you for their ministry. We pray for each one of them, Father. Lord Jesus, again, we just want to say we love you. God, you've been so good to us, Lord, through this relationship. And Lord, we just give you glory and praise and honor. And Lord, I pray we will heed Jackie's words and we will continue to serve you, Lord, in greater ways than we've ever done before. As you are worthy, and that's what we want to do, Lord. Father, give us the grace to do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I am aware of the time, and so I am going to cut this sermon extremely short. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm surprised somebody didn't stand up and start clapping. But I tell you what I'd like to do. I would like for you, first of all, thank you, Carl. We'll give you a ministry opportunity your last day here. All right? I want to call your attention to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'll have to save this one for another Sunday. In total, follow with me as I read. Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This sermon was to be a New Year's sermon to challenge you as you begin to look ahead to 2018 and what God has for you. May I just say, summing up the whole message, you will never know God's perfect peace, God's perfect joy in your life until you get on God's perfect plan for your life, until you know what the will of God is and you follow it. Now, Paul says very clearly in verse 1 and 2, God has the perfect will for every single Christian. And it is not just a general will to keep the commandments and keep our nose clean and keep ourselves out of jail and in church. God has a specific will for every single born-again believer. And it is our responsibility, thank you, Cortland, it's our responsibility to seek God out and find that will. And there's only one way to do that. Paul says, I beseech you. He says, I urge you. I plead with you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Friends, listen. Only when we give ourselves totally to God will God reveal His will totally to us. And if we're not willing to do that, we're going to wander around in this world not having a clue as to why we're here as a believer. And so I want to urge you today, as you begin this new year, make up your mind, God, that's what I want for my life. I want to know your will, and I want to have the grace to do it. Now, what Jackie said in her concluding remarks, she actually stole my concluding remarks in my message. So I'm just going to repeat them, because that was of God. Beloved, Paul said, I beseech you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Friends, I want to talk about that for just a moment. Do you know what sacrifice means? Sacrifice, first of all, means inconvenience. It means you're going to be put out a little bit in this life. You're going to be doing things that you normally would not have done because you are serving God. To be a sacrifice also means fatigue. You're going to be getting tired in the ministry. There's going to be weary days because you have sacrificed your physical well-being to serve God. It will also mean financial liberality. You're going to be giving above and beyond. You're not just going to be giving the leftovers like most people do. But you're going to sacrifice and cut back on what you spend on yourself so you can tithe your income. So you can give above the tithe when God's people, when the God's church calls for it. You're going to be sacrificing financially. And also, to be a sacrifice means you're going to have some heartache. Because you see, you cannot minister to people. You cannot expend yourselves in trying to win people to Jesus and trying to minister to God's people without letting them, having them let you down. Oftentimes, they will disappoint you. They will make promises they don't keep. They'll turn their back on you. And you'll have heartache. But I want to tell you, that's what it takes to know the will of God and to follow the will of God. Being willing to sacrifice. I want to ask you today, have you been willing to sacrifice in the past? And if not, would this be the day you begin to sacrifice? Now, let me just share some exciting things about this, and then we close. First of all, look at verse 1. He says, if you do present this living sacrifice to Him, it will be holy, it will be acceptable. Now, that word is not really the best English translation, the word acceptable. The better translation of the Greek word means well-pleasing. It's the same word that Paul uses when he says in Colossians, children, obey your parents because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's the same word. And so you see, when you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, it's well-pleasing to Him. You please Him when you do that. You please Him. Now, there's one thing about that I think about and perhaps you might think about. And that is, well, will He accept it? If I offer myself to Him, how do I know He will accept it? Well, that's a good question considering the weakness of our own flesh, is it not? It is for me and it may be for you. Let me tell you why God accepts your sacrifice if you're willing to make it. If you would like, turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and read with me one verse. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I'm going to be reading verse 5. Paul says there, and you also as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That's the same word, well-pleasing, well-pleasing. But look how it's well-pleasing, through Jesus Christ. That's how we're well-pleasing to God, friends. Listen, we are covered by His blood. His blood flows through our veins spiritually. And when God looks at us, He looks at His Son, and we are well-pleasing. So yes, when you offer your body to God sincerely, He looks at the Lord Jesus in your life, and He says, I'm well-pleased, and I accept it. So you can know for sure, yes, He will accept your sacrifice. And He will reveal to you His will. And you can follow that will and please Him. Now, the last thing about this message. What's the motivation for all this? What is the motivation? Why should I do this? Well, look at verse 1 again. Paul says, I beg you, Romans 12, I beg you by the mercies of God. That's why. Paul said, he's written to them for 11 chapters, revealing all of God's mercy, all of God's blessings that He's poured out on His people for 11 chapters. And he says, go back and read those 11 chapters. By all these mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The old commentator, Donald Barnhouse, said, why in the world would He have to beg them? You see, that word beseech means I beg you. Why would you have to beg God's people after all His mercies He's poured out to offer yourselves? I don't know. He shouldn't have to. But He still did. I'm begging you today. I'm begging you today as God's people. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Be willing to be inconvenienced. Be willing to sacrifice financially. Be willing to get tired. Be willing to suffer heartache. If you will, God will use you more than He's ever used you before. And if we did it collectively, we'd never know the blessings that God would give this old church. God help us to do it. Will you do it as we begin this new year. Would you bow? Just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And God is calling some of you as believers to make that total sacrifice. And you know it. You know that's what you need to do. God may be calling you to be saved today. You do not know Jesus Christ. Most of your church members, you've joined a church at some point. But have you joined the family of God? Has your sins been washed away by Jesus' blood? Have you made a definite, genuine, full commitment to the Lordship of Christ in your life? Turn from consent, turn from sins and confess those sins and followed and made a commitment to follow Jesus with all your heart. That's what salvation is, friends. Have you made that total commitment? Or did you just repeat a prayer that you did not mean or did not understand? I invite you to be saved if you've never been saved. I invite you to come to Jesus as a living sacrifice and start this new year out in a way that will please Him and bring Him glory. Lord Jesus, thank You that You made the total sacrifice. Thank You that You made the total sacrifice. Oh Jesus, let us follow in Your footsteps today and make the same sacrifice for You that You made for us, a total sacrifice. And Lord Jesus, if one is here tonight, today, and does not know You, I pray this will be the day they'll confess You as Savior and Lord. Be glorified, Lord, as people respond to Your call. And I pray this in Your precious name, dear Jesus, and for Your sake. Amen. Would you please stand? Would you please come as God leads right now?
My tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my conflicts, all my thoughts, Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my longings, all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all. My failures, His power redeems. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All my my tomorrows, all my path. Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my conflicts, all my thoughts, Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
Thank you. Let me just say a couple of words about a couple of people. Actually, one person. Kimberly, would you please come? Most of you know Kimberly Anderson, Kimberly and James, sweet, dear people, member of our church probably about a year now. And Kimberly comes to recommit her life to follow Jesus. And the old devil is on all our backs, and he's been on hers. And I'm telling you, just take it from your pastor. God has done a marvelous work in Kimberly's life. And those who've been around her in the last couple of weeks can see the transformation. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That is right. And she told me on a Facebook message this week, said, I'm probably coming forward just to recommit my life for all that Jesus has done for me. And I'm telling you, this is a great day. And so I want to tell you, this is a great day in her life and in our life as her spiritual family. So, Kimberly, we're just so thankful for what the Lord has done for you, and we praise His name, and we thank you for your testimony today and for your and James' commitment to be a part of Grants Creek, because it's a blessing. And if you're not going to be able to stay for lunch, then I want you to come by and just greet Kimberly before you leave. If you're going to be here for lunch, then just do it over there. But you see her before you leave, because she's going to be right here. Is Karen Ryan here? Karen, you come up here, sister. Karen has become a dear friend to Kimberly, and I just want Karen to be here with her, because she's been a dear friend and she's had a great influence in Karen's life, in Kimberly's life. And so, Karen, we want to thank you. You just come on. And while you're getting here, I'm going to do just about 15 seconds worth of preaching. Karen Ryan is a sweet girl, too. She loves the Lord. She has a great ministry in this church. You know why she's at Grants Creek? She's here because she was invited by a friend. A friend invited her. She came. She got saved. She's hit the ground running ever since. Invite folks to church, people. I tell you, they'll come, and God just may get a hold of their lives like He did Karen's, and now He's ministered to Kimberly. He'll do it through you. Amen. All right. Let me just say one more word. Okay. Bless God. just a word of announcement before we leave. First of all, we want to remind you about our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We always extend our offering through January. Some of you have not given yet. Please don't miss this opportunity. Be a part of the spread of the gospel worldwide through the best things Southern Baptists have to do it, Lottie Moon offering. Give a sacrificial gift and God will bless you. And then I just want to say, of course, that we have our meal that follows immediately afterwards. And so you please be sure and be there. Don't forget to sign the book, the Bible. It'll be over there in line. Thank you so much. All right. It's been a great day. No service tonight, of course. God bless you. Happy New Year. See you Wednesday night. Yes, sir. That's a good thing. That's a good idea, Marty. We'll see them right now. Run them. Yeah, we want to see these. Thank you, Marty. We can laugh all you want to, okay? Yeah. Right. Yeah, let's just do it. Yeah. Thank you for reminding us, all right? Yeah.